It's Wednesday, February 15th, 2017, and my oh my, we had a classic game on our hands. Unfortunately, the good news is we got a point. Bad news is, did we deserve it? We'll talk about that tonight. We are your only interactive Sharks post-game show this evening, and it is Pucknology After Dark. Welcome on in and have a seat. Enjoy the show. But reminding you always that Pucknology After Dark is presented by Audible, an Amazon company. We've partnered with them to provide a free 30-day trial. You can search up to 180,000 audiobooks, and you can get one to keep for yourself, even if you don't want to use the service afterwards. Log on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up. You get a free book. You help support the show. And everybody wins. That's right. Everybody wins at audibletrial.com/PAD. Nonetheless, make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. We are your live interactive Sharks postgame show after every single hockey game that Team Teal plays. For more news and opinions, visit Pucknology. Of course, always follow our social media channels throughout the interwebs. All right, with that being said, we want to make sure you do say hello to Rocket Backhander. Hi, Rocket.
Hey, what's up? Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pucknology After Dark. My name is Rocket Backhander, and I'm still a Sharks fan.
She's still a Sharks fan. After all of this, she's still a Sharks fan. And I'm Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. You can also follow Rocket at RBackhander76. And most importantly, if you want to be a part of the show, all you need to do is interact with us. That's right.
Wow. Okay, so that's the new thing for this year? That's actually not that I can. That's okay.
That's not bad. We'll see how well it gets destroyed by everybody else in like the next 2 seconds. You can use the Twitter hashtag PucknologyAD. You can also join us in the YouTube chat on the YouTube page or the app. And of course, make sure you get home safely.
Hey, I'm going to give everybody in the chat right now, I'm going to give you all an assignment. If you've ever watched At Midnight, sometimes they have a game that they play with their contestants called add a word and ruin a movie title. So I want you guys to add Finn to a movie title and make it worse. And go.
All right. We will go from there. So while you guys are thinking about it, and also if you're using the Twitter machine, please use the hashtag PucknologyAD so we can find it a whole lot quicker, if you don't mind. Rocket, my dear, what's your initial thoughts on tonight's game?
My initial thoughts. Which is sort of like Tina Belcher's, but with, I don't know, a little bit more menace.
Gotcha. I'm already seeing the comments pouring in as we speak. Oh, goodness. Let's see. Finn Goons, Requiem for a Finn.
Requiem for Finn. That's good.
That's a good one. Dipsomaniac. Ow. Gen X with Finn T, Shades of Teal. Lore of the Finn. To kill a Finn pun. From here to infinity. Yeah, Debbie does
oh,
Finn.
Wow, oh, wow. That was a good one.
Huckleberry Finn. Nice job, Chris.
The Fintrix.
To infinity and beyond. That's the Fintrix. That's nice. All right. Sorry. Let's get back on focus here. You know, man, I think we talked about this right before we came on. Who is the best player for the Sharks tonight?
Aaron Dell. He had himself a delicious game tonight, just sitting there and being supportive on the bench, not doing a damn thing wrong. He had a great night.
And for the other people that wore teal tonight on the ice.
Bagsgate, 6 a.m. There will be no crispy hash browns.
Ooh, they're going to be soggy tonight and tomorrow morning. Yikes.
And they're not even going to load the catering truck at Shark's Ice. They're just going to be like, no, you guys get granola bars and whatever is left over in the water bottles from last night, get out there.
Oof. Not even washed. Damn. Yeah, that's kind of similar to what I was thinking. They laid an egg early on. Kudos for them making a comeback to tie the game up at 3-3. Fell flat early in the third till Pavelski, you know, kind of saved himself, saved the team. Just to hold us to get to overtime, but yikes. So let's break it down now.
I'm sorry. Ian Reed in the chat also wanting to mention that Goldobin was great as well. And yes,
that's true.
Showing us exactly why he got the call up from the Barracuda last night from Thug and the rest of the boys. Great job tonight, Goldie. Good job.
Yes. Goldie, nice job. You've been awesome this whole time since you've been up in San Jose this year. All right, so at 4:20 of the first, UC Jokinen gets his eighth of the year. Defensive breakdown at its finest. Bernsey and Martin, at least in my eyes, went for the same player and left Jokinen open and beat Martin Jones pretty badly to make it 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then 31 seconds later, Bernsey's like, well, I'll make up for it, and scores his 25th goal of the year from Pavelski to tie it up. And I'm thinking, all right, we're back in it. Everything's all good. And then 44 seconds later, Nick Bjugstad gets his first of two goals on the night. Make it 2-1. And then Barkov, not even a minute and a half later, makes it 3-1. Martin Jones lets in three goals on
how many shots?
I believe it was like six shots in the first period. I mean, that's, I'm thinking serious concerns now.
Well, for Martin Jones. All right. Not serious concerns for Martin Jones. Cut that shit right there.
Okay.
Look at what was in front of him.
That's true, too.
You had defensive breakdowns from Burns and Martin, from Braun and Vlasic, and from Dylan and Schlemko. From all three pairs on the blue line tonight, they were absolute incohesive poo-poo, okay? I do not fault Martin Jones for letting in as many shots. One or two of them, yeah, maybe he should have had them.
Right.
But all of them, no. This was squarely a team effort of suck. Yeah, and Kevin Lacey says that I'm right, that it's bullshit to blame Jones. So, sorry. Yeah, I know Twitter wants to blow up about like, oh, see, this is why Dell needs to start more. I'm sure they'll get there when they need to, but this was definitely not one of those nights where Martin Jones looked like he was fatigued or tired.
But he should have been fatigued at all. I mean, I mean, they had a couple of days of rest. They came back from New Jersey early since they had an early game. The whole team seemed to be off, but I mean, usually Jones has been the guy to kind of bail out the defense, and defense hasn't been picking up the slack in when Jones has had a breakdown here and there.
Mm.
But overall, defensively, ever since they went on that road trip, you know, starting last week in Buffalo, this team's been leaking oil for, you know, letting goals in.
Why do you think that philosophy changed all of a sudden? Was it something that coaching said, perhaps, that they're trying to make an adjustment that turned out to backfire?
There's got to be something going on, or they're trying some different technique or whatnot, because it just seems to be probably like one of the best goals against throughout the entire first half of the year. And then all of a sudden, you know, what was it? You led in 5 against Buffalo, yeah. 6 against Boston. They played well against Philly. You did pretty well against New Jersey, and then you led in 6 tonight. I mean, if it was like they were scoring 4 or 5 against, they were getting maybe a concern, but when you're letting in 5 or 6 in 3 of your last 5, that becomes a major concern for a team that's what we've been kind of getting on them, whether it's 5-on-5, like you've been saying all year, or like how AJ's been saying on special teams, how this team has had a little bit of a rough stretch in scoring.
Here's the thing, and I've been talking to a couple of different people on this whole special teams deal. At this point in the season, it is dumb to continually berate the players for their lack of production. At this point, it is clearly an indication that coaching is not providing them with the tools necessary to make the changes that they need to make in order to start producing more on their special teams power plays. I mean, look at the Barracuda, for example. They are number 1 in the AHL, and I believe it's their power play, and their PK is 4th, I think, or something like that. It's ridiculous. And if you ever get a chance to watch the Barracuda, please go watch these guys. It's not beer league. I swear, it's so good.
No, it isn't. They've been great.
Yeah. And you watch their power play and they are incredible. And you watch their power or their, you know, their penalty kill, and they know what they're doing and they hustle. And you almost think like, all right, so who's running their special teams? And maybe they want to walk across the hall and hang out over on the South Rink, you know, instead of the East Rink, you know? It puts a more of kind of a spotlight and tightening of the collar on coaching more than it does the players, because you can't put them in a system and tell them to go out there and then expect something different to happen. But people look at the players and they're like, oh, well, they go out there and they just do the same thing over and over. Well, why is it? Do you think maybe it's because coaching is telling them to do the same thing over and over, or it's because they just are like, we're not listening to anyone, we're going to do the same thing repeatedly and we know it's not going to work?
And see, one of the things about the special teams, as I always said, is have some flow with it. I think we saw one or a couple of power plays during the road trip where they kind of started moving things around and they generated more shots.
Yeah.
I don't think they scored on that power play, if I recall correctly, but they definitely got more chances and more shots on goal on it. And because that didn't work, they went back to the standard. I just stand here. I'll wait for Joe to pass to the Burns, and the Burns will throw it on net, and maybe Pavs will tip it. It's like, you can't have that whole, you know, peripheral vision. You got to have more of an opening. And they've been getting better about it tonight. I mean, yeah, they were 0 for 3 this evening, but...
Wow, Rob Humphrey in the chat. Maybe we should have fired DeBoer and hired Julianne.
No. I don't think so. But A0-1-2-3-4-5. If Larry Robinson didn't help the defense, nothing would. Ouch. I don't know. Chris saying they need to utilize the umbrella more. I agree on that part. And just because it provides a different look that teams aren't expecting. I think the predictability is part of the problem here, don't you think?
A little bit, yeah, because everybody knows what they're going to do. I think, God, you know what? It's movement. It's knowing where the guy is going to be, and it's getting rid of the damn puck as quickly as possible. That's what they don't do.
That's true, too. They hang on to it as well. They're
very deliberate, and I understand why they're deliberate, you know, because you don't want to just slap shit around and then, hey, guess what? They pick up the rebound, odd man rush, and off they go. I get that. I do. There's got to be something in the middle, isn't there?
You would hope so. kind of continuing on our summary, Wardo gets one back late in the first from Thornton and Burns, makes it 3-2. Second period, Mark Edward Vlasic banks one off of Barkov, where Luongo's going like, what the hell, man? Ties that up at 3, and you're thinking, all right, good job. They came back from a 2-goal deficit, looking positive, going into third. Everything's looking well. And then Nick Bjugstad scores 2 minutes into the third to make it 4-3. And then Barkov scores on assist from Jágr. Jágr gets his 1900th point on his 45th birthday. Jágr, happy birthday to you. Give you the salute there. At 12:41, not looking good for the Sharks. 7:19 to go. You're thinking, oh boy, some people are already leaving. And then all of a sudden, Captain Finmerica shows up. Pavelski from Schlemko and Brandon Dillon.
Yay! Dillon gets an apple, but he did not get into a fight, nor did he get a goal. So no Gordie Howe hat trick for him.
Dang it. Come on. Oh, well. With 3:21 left, makes it 5-4. And then after Hurdle missed a deflection that went off the post, he gets an assist on Pavelski's 20th at 19:22. Hurdle and Schlemko with the assist, tied up at 5-5. Let's be real here, Rocket. Did they deserve that point at all? I mean, yes, they came back from two-goal deficits, but I thought the way they defensively, they just were like, just sloppiness.
You know, I asked this question to, I just got a new iPhone and it's got a bunch of really cool apps on it. And one of them is the Dionne Warwick Psychic Friends Hotline app, where you just open the app and you ask it a bunch of questions and it tells you the answers. And the Psychic Friends Network said that no, they didn't deserve this point. But I mean, I was so conflicted with how to answer that I had to go seek answers from a 976 number. There have been nights where the Sharks have not deserved to win and have squeaked out a win. Tonight, they got a point. Did they deserve it? Does it matter?
No.
There you go. That's your answer. That's your answer. It doesn't matter whether or not they deserved it. When Sharks do good, it is good.
Yeah.
Even if by doing good, it means getting one out of two possible points.
Hey, if you can get 1 point out of each game, we'll take it. This race is going to be tight for the division crown, and we'll get into around the league and the standings in a little bit. But, I you mentioned before we went on the air again, their passing wasn't crisp either. And yes, they were coming back from a road trip, so there was maybe a little rust.
I don't think so, because it's not like they come home from a road trip and then they just go straight home and they don't put on their skates until game day.
No, no, I'm saying they'll use the rust excuse.
But I don't think the boys will. I think everybody will use the excuse for the boys, but they themselves will be like, that fucking sucked. There's no excuses. Yeah. We can't do that. That just sucked. I don't know. Yeah, no, the ice looked like Velcro. And I had not seen so many guys woof on passes, I don't think, in an entire game this season. On both sides. It wasn't just San Jose, so I can't come down on them. I did see the Florida dudes, miss, or they'd try to just flick it and the puck would stay completely still. I don't know how the mechanics of that work, because I don't actually play hockey, but it looked a little bit like maybe it was sticking.
Yeah, and they had the Barracuda play last night and won, by the way.
That was a sick game. I was there.
Yeah, Barracuda's just been on fire. Like you said, maybe they had some beer league or high school league games going on in the afternoon. But yeah, that I'm concerned with the ice. And yeah, it's been somewhat humid with all the tropical storms that have been in here. But Yeah, that puck was not holding down. I remember one play where Thornton was at the point and barely hung on to from keeping the puck from going offside, and it was bouncing like crazy. So I don't know. Yeah. All in all, I don't think it was the greatest game. Definitely not their best game. I mean, yeah, give them kudos for coming back twice from 2-goal deficits. Roberto Luongo gets injured on that 5th goal. I'm still not sure how. I don't know if he stretched a groin out, but it looked like on the overhead he was grabbing like his knee or his thigh or something like that.
Hey, Chester, breaking news. I had mentioned that the Panthers' puck movement didn't look great either, so maybe it was the ice. Just like, yeah.
No, but they seem to be more crisp with their passing. But yeah, they didn't have their A game as well either. Let's be real here.
This is the first time that they've had their full lineup in, I think, what, almost basically the entire season since the beginning of the season.
Huberto just came back, and obviously he scores the game-winning goal nearly a minute into the into the overtime, and the Sharks seemed a little sloppy on getting their puck out of their own zone in that overtime session. So, but it is what it is. Sharks lose 6-5. Ian Reid, the fucking Sharks play 41 games on that ice to the Panthers 1. Lol.
Yeah, but the ice isn't the same every night. Lol.
So, let's see. Going over into the stat sheet, Sharks won that faceoff battle. So, proof that it doesn't always necessarily mean you win more, you're going to win more. But they had a good night in the faceoff circle. They kept Florida off, you know, off the score sheet for both power plays that they had. But the Sharks went 0-for-3 on their power play. They outshot the Panthers 36-22. So they had good numbers. Just the defense just didn't hold up to par. And James Reimer gets the win. For all 2 minutes and 16 seconds he played in the game.
Sharks lose to a backup goalie again.
Yep. Again. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, whatever. They had a crap night.
They had a crap night.
They'll overanalyze it, they'll underanalyze it, they'll move on to the next game. Yep. Who's next?
The Desert Dogs.
Oh, this ought to be a fun game. God. So there'll be a fight and another fight and another fight, and it'll be chippy, and it'll be a trap game. And the Sharks will just run and run and run and run 40 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes look like crap.
Well, and see, here's the thing. So you have 2 days off now, Thursday, Friday, and then you have a back-to-back going into the bye week, and you have Arizona, and my eyes are not working out for me right now. You have Arizona Saturday night on ice. And then you have a strange 5:30 start on Sunday as part of Hockey Day in America. That'll be on NBCSN against Boston. So let's put it this way, folks. Joe Thornton got one assist tonight. He's at 997. If Jumbo can get maybe assist or two Saturday night, oh, how interesting that would be if he were to get his 1,000th assist against the team that drafted him.
Boy, wouldn't that be something.
That would be something. And as we said earlier, Jágr gets his 1,900th point. 45 years old. Man, oh man, he's still doing it. That's unbelievable. I mean, and he regrew the flow, which is just amazing as well.
He's been working on that for quite some time, though. I believe it's been since preseason. I remember seeing something on Twitter about that.
yeah, the his teammates encouraged him to do it again, which I think is pretty cool. And he's known for that nice flow.
So. That's true.
Very true. All right. So let's go around the league.
Oh, Chester, he's doing it. Doing it every night with 18-year-olds. Yeah, well.
Hey-o. Nick Neftepitz, I'm not complaining about Hockey Day in America. I'm just saying it's a weird 5:30 start.
Mike Nims, since the Sharks love to shit themselves in February. Boy, that's so true.
Yeah, well, they have four games. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they have four games left this month. At Arizona, home to Boston, at Vancouver, and home to Toronto. And I could see them going 2-2 or 2-2. Maybe, I mean, I could see them possibly going 2-2 on the last four games before they go into their month of death.
Wait, March is the month of death?
They have 16 games in 30 days.
Oh, screw it. Get it all over with. Can we just play 16, play 16 games in 16 days and have the rest of the month off? Screw it. Let's just do it that way.
Mr. Reed saying I'm not patriotic, apparently. What the hell is this shit?
It's a Hockey Day in America. If you poop on that, you're not in it.
God, I said the game was at 5:30. Let's not poop ourselves for crying out loud.
Too late.
My goodness. Whatever. All right, let's go around the league since, you know, I'm anti-American and probably going to get deported tomorrow thanks to Trump. Columbus 5, Toronto 2. So a day after the Leafs score 7 goals, they go down 5-2. The game that was on earlier on NBCSN, the Blues beat the Red Wings 2-0. Red Wings look done. The Red Wings do not look like they're going to make it. It's a tough damn year.
No,
it's been a tough damn year for them.
Exactly. But it's been this tough. Like, it's like watching a 15-year-old Cocker Spaniel with bad back legs and, like, no eyes left. You just, like, God, I know the vet told you that there's better Flexerol out there for him, but don't you think maybe it would just be better to put him out of his misery now than to try to prolong it?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I know this wasn't an overnight thing. A huge portion of the fan base had been seeing this coming forever. It needed to happen, and I'm sorry. I hope it isn't as painful. I think it'll be they're Detroit. Come on, man. They're going to be glorious eventually.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. They'll be back. They've gone so many years where they traded their number one picks or traded picks and, you know. I mean, 25 years straight of making the playoffs. That's insane. You know,
that's not what making the playoffs is about, is to make your – we've made playoffs for this many years. No, if you had made playoffs and then made Stanley Cup final and then won the cup 25 years in a row, I understand that. But
early on they were making deep runs. Now it's like they're lucky if they maybe get over the first round.
I don't think they would. No, no. Didn't they just lose a goalie too or something? Somebody is out with an injury, broken something.
Chatters tell us. In the meantime, I'll continue on while we get the answer. Calgary 3, Philadelphia 1. And, of course, the Sharks lose in overtime to the Panthers 6-5. So, with that, let's take a look at the standings.
Thanks. Yeah, Jimmy Howard is out. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
And are they or are they not the last team to win back-to-back Cubs?
They are. Okay. To win them all, both.
Is that worth it? Is it worth it to continually just, like, stretch it, and not be at full tilt boogie and not be at, like, 100%, but just enough to get you? Is that worth it? Like, when do you call it?
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, a back-to-back, I get that. But the year after the back-to-back, they didn't, like, think, okay, we need to dial it down and rebuild. Well, or it was a rebuild on the fly.
They've always had good development in their minor league system with Grand Rapids. Okay. And I can't see it just being because Babcock is gone either. Because I know some people are like, well, just get rid of Blashill and bring somebody with, you know, cup experience and stuff. I'm like, no, give me a break. No. And plus, you have so many players on LTIR and are just hurting as it is. The standings are as of this moment. Sharks pick up a point, so they go to 73. They have a 3-point cushion on Quackenheim, who sit at 70. What?
Wouldn't that be something? I'm sorry. Nick in the chat saying Detroit won't make playoffs, and stunningly, they win the lottery. that's just what Detroit would need, huh? Is to get the first draft pick. Why not?
It's definitely a possibility. Of course, Arizona, Colorado are like, oh, come on. Really? Really? Speaking of teams that always get the number one pick, Edmonton at 68 points. The Calgary's win leapfrogs them over LA, so they have the last wild card spot at 61. The Kings sit a point behind. Vancouver hanging in there, although it depends on by day which team's going to show up for the Canucks. And the Desert Dogs, well, yeah, let's just put it this way. They know how to beat the Sharks.
It,